Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The text for this morning's sermon is taken from St. Luke's Gospel account, 17th chapter. Beloved in the Lord, and it came to pass that as Jesus went to Jerusalem, he passed through Samaria and Galilee. Jesus is on the move. He has been ever since his descent from the Mount of Transfiguration. He's heading south, making way to Jerusalem. The bridegroom is coming. This is his advent. He's flanked by his attendants, friends of the bridegroom who delight in his voice, while he cries out to the highways and byways, to the crowds and multitudes, the scribes and Pharisees, to Jew and Gentile, sinner and tax collector, in order to fill his wedding hall. Savior's steps are marked by love and the desire for your salvation. So your God is on the move to redeem the world from sin, death, devil, and hell. Where Jesus goes, God goes. For Jesus is God made flesh. Jesus isn't a part of God. He's not a side of God. He's not even a picture of God. But he is God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten of the Father from eternity and born of the Virgin Mary in time. And Jesus, the God whom heaven and earth cannot contain, much less anything built by man, and Jesus, God has located himself in space and time for you and me and for the world. He is accessible. He is approachable. He's vulnerable. And this morning, he's in the midst of Samaria and Galilee, where he's met by 10 lepers in need of healing. He is here, where he's met by sinners like you and me, in need of divine mercy, forgiveness, life, and salvation. Though standing afar off, these lepers will not let Jesus pass by, and nor should you. Listen as they call on the name of the Lord, lifting up their voices to the incarnate Word himself. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, lepers were not just sick. They didn't just suffer the frailty of the flesh. But as lepers, they were unclean. And you may not have leprosy, but you certainly have sin. You are, by nature, sinful and unclean. You've sinned in thought, word, and deed by what you have done and by what you have left up undone. And we know the consequence of our sins. Sin separates us from God and from our neighbor, so we stand afar off, afraid to draw near, afraid to be vulnerable, afraid to hurt, afraid to be shamed or shunned. Like these lepers, we often huddle together with others in their sin. Misery loves company because poor, miserable sinners are lonely. And the company of sinners does not give rest to the weary. To the Jewish world, a leper is already dead. Zombies, if you will. Curse. And such is our lot when we remain in our sin. Like these lepers, we need God in Christ to draw near and not pass us by. So like these lepers, let us lift up our Kyrie and call on the name of the Lord, trusting that all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For he draws near, not in judgment or condemnation, as though his advent were for our execution, but he draws near to save us, to offer himself, to speak his word, quicken hearts, strengthen weak knees, and lift up those who are ashamed. Jesus has come to bring pleasure eternal. And behold how he gently deals with these lepers. He sees them. He sees their condition. He sees them as a group. He sees them as individuals. Seeing them, he speaks to them. He gives them a word. In faith, they cry out to Jesus, and to strengthen their faith, he gives them more for their faith. Go, he says, go and show yourselves to the priests. Now, lepers don't go to priests unless they were no longer lepers. His command is full of promise. This is not the law, but the gospel. His command to go to the priest is no different than the call to believe. It's no different than setting a beggar at a banquet table and telling him to feast. Jesus has set the word before these men in order to create, sustain, and encourage their faith. He has come for sinners and all who suffer the uncleanness of our sins. He's not just for the pious Jews, but for sinners and tax collectors. Not just for healthy rebels, but for those who are sick in body and soul. And if Jesus is for lepers, he's also for you and me. But we also are unclean, and we need his healing word. So the men depart. Along the way, they're healed. Jesus' word does what it says. For his word is not like our word. Jesus' word is performative. His word gives what it says and does what it promises. His word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, and gives and shares himself with those who believe. Jesus is the word made flesh, God incarnate. And where Jesus goes, there goes our God. And where he goes, he is always going for us, not against us. Nine men saw that they were healed, and they kept going in obedience to Jesus. We don't know what happened to them, if any of them ever returned to Jesus after they went to the temple. But we do know what happened to one man. One man, a Samaritan, came back to Jesus. He returned to Jesus, and with a loud voice he glorified God, not the God out there or the God in the temple in Jerusalem, though surely God was out there and in the temple. Glorified the God standing in front of him, the one in the flesh. The Samaritan returned to Jesus, and he fell on his face in worship and adoration, and he gave thanks. He was no longer cursed, no longer dead, no longer unclean, and no longer far off. So it is with our Savior. He gives us his word, his promise. Not to judge or condemn, not to scatter or isolate, but to forgive and to heal, to draw near and to fellowship. The work of his word culminates at the cross. For being lifted up, Jesus draws all to himself. On the cross, all of our sins and uncleanness is atoned for. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins, the blood covering we need to be made whole and holy. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. But with the shedding of blood, the blood of the God incarnate, God reconciles himself to you and me and all people. Jesus is hung on the tree, taking your curse upon himself. For cursed is the man who hangs on the tree. Jesus endures the forsakenness of God. My God, why have you forsaken me? He is alone, and therefore alone suffers for you. Cross, the pangs of death and hell pierce him through. The righteous wrath of God is rained down upon him, and the merits of our works is put to death. In Jesus, God dies your death, and he kills your sin. In Jesus' death, the frailty of your flesh is consumed by his passion, and in Jesus' resurrection, the day of your resurrection is made certain. He is the first fruits from the dead, the first of a great and magnificent harvest yet to come on the last day. The Samaritan died. He believed. And he came back. So where are the nine? Jesus doesn't fault the others for their going, but for their failure to draw near to him and glorify God. Think on this, beloved. What love the Father has lavished on us in the giving of his Son. Has the Savior not baptized you? Has he not forgiven you all your sins? Does he not set before your hearts a rich and lavish meal for you to feast on in his word? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Does he not offer you to eat of his body and drink of his blood? These words and promises of God are given you as a gift to woo your heart nearer to him and to each other, so that in Jesus you are met by God, the God who loved you and gave himself up for you to forgive you and strengthen you and encourage you today, tomorrow, and forevermore. So why then, beloved, do you wander about days as though his words were like the words of men. Why do you disengage from the world and your vocation, stopping up your ears to his heavenly voice only to heed the words of others? Why do you grow anxious from the words of men, feasting on the words of politicians, philosophers, academics, pseudoscientists? Why do you despise preaching in his word with your absence or inattention to his divine service? Return to the Lord your God in Jesus, his Son. Call upon the name of the Lord today, tomorrow, and forever. Believe what he has promised and draw near, for the Savior is here for you. Let no day pass you by apart from Jesus. Read, learn, mark, and inwardly digest this heavenly manna, for the word of God is food for the soul. Only by eating it, hearing it, taking it to heart, do we receive strength. Mm-hmm. So also only by trusting and trustfully acting on that word will faith grow and increase. For the word isn't given for faith alone, but for faith and for action. The wise man builds his house upon the rock. Amen. So also the faithful live, work, do, act by faith. Faith expresses itself in love. The Savior's words are given to draw sinners near to the Savior. It's given as a gift without any merit or worthiness in us, but it's given for us to receive and therefore to worship and glorify God. Having received and worshipped in faith, having been made whole by the words of Jesus, we, like this lone Samaritan, are given to arise and go with Jesus wherever Jesus leads us. And wherever Jesus goes, there goes God. And we are bidden to go with him. Therefore, beloved, draw near. Taste and see that the Lord is good for you today. He's the giver of good gifts, gifts that deliver himself to you through means like water, and bread, wine, and words, and though they be less than exciting according to the world's standards, they are nevertheless living and active, mm-hmm. sharper than any two-edged sword, able to pierce through bone and sinew, able to do what they promise and give what they say. Return to Jesus for more of his word. Return to Jesus for more of Jesus. He is where God is for you and for eternity. Where Jesus is, there is heaven. So here is heaven on earth. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.
Amen.